Sports is going on here.
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You had better wake them up. Get them up. Get them going. Off we go. 4 hours of fun and conversation. Lot to dive into. This is a Tuesday on B&E, and we appreciate you being there as we launch. It's going to be a pretty compelling 4 hours of radio. We got a lot to do. A lot of good stuff. Aaron Rodgers has spoken on the riff with the Packers. Get you the very latest there out of the soap opera drama of the NFL. We've got NBA playoffs from last night, a couple of blowouts in the NBA. Big-time baseball, Big 12 conversation, Longhorns, accolades aplenty yesterday. A lot of top stories. We'll dive into them throughout the course of the morning. Appreciate you being there. Early bird always gets the worm. Hope you can ride with us all morning long, all day long, live, local, and digital. Make it easy for you to find us, whether you're on 104.9 on the FM dial, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. And you know we're always streaming on your smart speaker at hornfm.com, on your Horn app, and of course now our new Twitch channel. Look at the camera, smile, everybody. Good morning on Twitch at hornfm.com as well. It's gonna be a fun Tuesday, Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and of course all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you very much for what you do. It is appreciated. Thank you. Be part of the solution, not a part of the problem.
Another day of potential showers, not as wet as it has been, but once we get through today, but looking pretty good into Wednesday and beyond as far as the wet weather that we've been.
The percentages are a little lower, but it still could rain.
Yeah, 40-50% chance today. You may miss it, you may get it. It's one of those kind of things. Those showers will crop through, and depending on where you are, you'll get some. If you're lucky, you won't. And then tomorrow, looking good into Wednesday and beyond into your Memorial Day weekend, which is coming up. The three-day weekend coming up the end of the week. So a lot to dive into. It'll be a good Tuesday. A lot of big stories out there. How are we on a Tuesday morning? Did you play poker last night? Did that happen? Texas Cheaters?
Yeah, it was
playing some cards.
11:30 poker night. I don't even remember going home and getting up. I just remember being here for some odd reason.
Hold on. You don't remember
not
going?
There's not a lot of sleep involved in after 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's just like you put your head down, you brush your teeth, and then you're in here. It was just a weird night. Plus, I didn't win. I got crushed last night.
Crushed?
Crushed.
They took some money from you?
Yeah, man.
Come on, man.
This has been a bad poker and golf month for sure. Let's get out of here and get to June.
Yeah, let's go ahead and flip the page, get through May. Mayday kind of
thing.
Not been good, kind of the weather situation. Get out of the rain. Let's get into June. Let's get into the summer in Texas. We are almost there. We've got a lot of top stories. Let's start with your headlines as we get you going. Sounds like we're going to have to drag Buck up over up through a Tuesday as well after poker night last night. You don't even remember? You just went straight home, took a little nap, and then you're here.
I took a nap.
Because you get up so dang early.
Yeah, 3:30. Yeah, I took a nap. That's all it was. It was just like going home and taking a nap. I took a nap, and I came in here.
All right.
It was okay.
Struggling.
Hey, plenty of time to sleep when you're dead.
That is true.
To sleep when you're dead, yes.
Well, we're nowhere near that for you or me, I hope. Glad we're here to start this
Tuesday.
Only the good
die young.
No, that's true. That's absolutely true. Isaiah Collier is here as well. We'll have some fun throughout the course of this morning. But first, let's get to your top stories, trending topics on your Tuesday. Sinus and snoring specialists bring you the news. And, yeah, we'll start with a little Texas baseball and 2 days after the Longhorns clinch their share of the Big 12 baseball regular season title. Plenty of accolades rolling in for the Horns yesterday as the Big 12 awards announced. Texas ace Ty Madden, the Friday starter, named the conference Pitcher of the Year. David Pierce named the conference Coach of the Year. Junior from Cypress, 6-3 this year. As a rock on those Friday nights, 2.55 ERA, 13 starts. He's the seventh Longhorn to earn the Conference Pitcher of the Year honors, but the first in a decade. His fellow coaches, meanwhile, have voted David Pierce as the best coach in the Big 12 for the second time in 5 years. We will have a conversation with the head coach at 8:30 this morning here on B&E, and we'll preview the Big 12 tournament and beyond. Saturday starter Tristan Stevens, along with second baseman Mitchell Daly, the DH Ivan Melendez, were named first team all Big 12 members, made that first team. Third baseman Cam Williams and outfielder Mike Antico made the second. Longhorns are the top seed in the Big 12 tournament. Oklahoma City, it begins today. Longhorns will first see action tomorrow. They'll play the winner of today's West Virginia-Kansas matchup, 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. 12-point Texas women's softball team, meanwhile, has advanced to the super regional round of the NCAA tournament. They will open a best-of-three super regional series at fifth-ranked Oklahoma State on Friday. Major announcement yesterday, right after our show ended, from the Austin FC, along with City of Austin officials. Q2 Stadium will operate at 100% capacity when the Verde play their first match at the new stadium on June 19th, hosting San Jose. The 20,500-seat stadium will be packed and officially open actually 3 days earlier, June 16th, when the U.S. women's national team plays Nigeria in a friendly. That will also be at 100% capacity. NBA playoff action last night, first round. Milwaukee took a commanding 2-0 lead in their first round series with Miami. 132-98 destruction of the Heat last night. Remember, game one back on Saturday was a back-and-forth overtime thriller. This one was over early. Bucks outscored Miami 46-20 in the first quarter, never looked back. Second game last night, Denver even their first round series with Portland at a game each, 128-109. Nikola Jokic scored 38. Triple header of NBA action tonight. Boston faces Brooklyn in game two. Nets up 1-0. Lakers face the Phoenix Suns. Suns are up 1-0. Then the LA Clippers hosting the Dallas Mavericks out in LA. Mavericks are up one game tonight in that series. Also from the NBA, Utah Jazz point guard or guard Jordan Clarkson named the league's sixth man of the year yesterday. Major League Baseball last night. Rangers and Astros both had the night off. Texas opens a series in Anaheim tonight. Astros, meanwhile, open a much-anticipated series with the L.A. Dodgers down in Houston. A great pitching matchup for Game 1. Zach Greinke facing Clayton Kershaw. A couple of former teammates there. Round Rock, a 7-3 loser in Tacoma.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Man, not a lot of fight in the Miami Heat. For a team trying to defend the Eastern Conference Championship, they look like they're ready to go to sleep.
Yeah, I watched game one. As I mentioned on Saturday, I went to a couple graduation parties, so I was keeping my eye on that. That game was on where we were, and I was keeping my eye on Heat and Bucks, and it was just a tremendous game. I mean, it was going back and forth. It was never more than a four-point lead for either side, and, of course, went to overtime, and Chris Middleton won it with a game winner just at the buzzer, just a great game-winning shot. And so you kind of tuned in last night thinking, okay, all right, I'm in on this series. And gosh, it was over before it started. He didn't fight very much, and the Bucks just beat the daylights out of him. And it's like, all right, well, what else is on tonight? Because this game is O-V-E-R.
Is that the real Bucks we're seeing there, Zay? I mean, is this the group that we've been looking for the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think so, Buck. With the addition of Drew Holiday and P.J. Tucker, this is a completely different Bucks team, man. You know, you got to give credit to Giannis. Like, he understands that he's one of the best defensive players in the league. And for him to say, you know what, I'm going to guard Jimmy Butler, it's huge for their team because Jimmy Butler, as good as he is, Giannis is a different specimen. And if he's guarding you all game, then you're going to have a rough game. Yeah. I don't care who you are. You're going to have a rough game, man. He's as motivated as he's ever been because of all the losses that they've had in recent playoffs. So, yeah, look out for the Bucks, man.
Yeah. Giannis had 31. But, yeah, that whole roster, you know, Bryn Forbes, the former Spur, was great last night. He had 27, knocking down threes. And the Drew Holiday thing, he's a very, you know, aggressive defensive point guard. You like him at the point. And then, you just like, you know what P.J. Tucker is going to bring you. That's toughness. That's a junkyard dog. I kind of think, Zay, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, Giannis reminds me kind of a modern-day Hakeem Olajuwon as far as new style of game, but he's just a freakish athlete who's the best athlete on the floor anytime he plays. And this team's kind of built like the Rockets when they won their titles. There's no other like superstar, just a lot of really, really good players that can shoot the three, play good defense, and we'll see if that's enough to get them through the East. But Giannis is an Hakeem-type player. He's just that freaky and can do so many things on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, and they're starting to utilize him more. I mean, even though he takes too many threes still, he has to make the defense honest at least. And you
That's
know,
true.
I think he's taking this game to another level by allowing other players on his team to flourish, like DiVincenzo and Cognitan, and like you said, Forbes, who came from the Spurs, who had an excellent game. But yeah, I think once they picked up Drew Holiday and they got rid of Eric Bledsoe, he just completely changes the outlook on their team.
Be interesting. You know, that Hakeem comparison, mean, it doesn't make sense because it's such a different game now. But in old school, Giannis would be a back-to-the-basket center. I mean, that's what he'd be doing at 6'11 or 7 foot, whatever he is. But in this game, he faces the basket. He goes at the basket. It's a different style of game these days. But that team built and the roster built similar to what the Rockets were way back 30 years ago around the Dream.
Yeah, and Jimmy Butler wants to be a leader. But if you can stop him for scoring, he can't lead very much if he's not scoring. He's just another player out there. And if Giannis is covering him, he's not going to have these 24-point games because – he doesn't seem like the guy to get in the high 30s, but he can get you in the 20s, and everybody else around him will play a feed off of his energy. But Giannis not giving him any energy. He's got no energy. He can't get to the hoop. He can't be physical with the guy. So,
well, if he's going to play like that on that end, Giannis, the Bucks are going to be good. Obviously, Brooklyn is the 2 seed in the East, and your Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes, my Philadelphia 76ers.
The top seed. So Eastern Conference, Western Conference tonight. We'll see if the Mavericks, can they get in and steal a 2-0 lead in L.A.? That'd be huge. Remember, the Clippers tanked the last two games of the season to get this matchup with the Mavs. And we talked about how maybe just desserts would be the Mavericks jump in there and win that series. There was no doubt in game one. There's all-stars in this series with Kawhi and Paul George. Luka Doncic, but the best player on the floor in game one was Luka. By a lot. He was tremendous with a triple-double. We'll see what the Clippers have in response in that series. And the Lakers, you certainly don't want to see them, if you're a Laker fan, fall down 0-2 tonight in Phoenix. And they need more from Anthony Davis. He got outplayed by the youngster DeAndre Ayton in game one in a big way. That can't happen again. I mean, Anthony Davis has got to be the best player on the floor for the Lakers, or they're not going to be in the playoffs for long.
Well, and Portland last night had a chance to get out to a 2-0 lead. They let that one slip away. That would have been big for them to get a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, and Jokic woke up a little bit after he had a quiet game in game one.
Yeah, they got him going now.
Yeah, he's probably going to win the MVP when it comes down, and he played like one last night. He did not for Denver in game one.
Mm-hmm.
I think they held him without an assist in game one, which is a bizarre situation. He's one of the – I mean, he's like a point center. That's one of the reasons he's going to win the MVP. He scored 38 last night, but he also was almost like a point guard from the center position in this new style of basketball in the NBA. So playoffs are out there. Fun game. Well, you hoped for some fun games last night. It didn't get much. Both were pretty one-sided, to say the least.
Three games tonight.
Three. Triple-header. Triple-header, starting with Brooklyn and Boston, and then the two in the West. The both L.A. teams are in action tonight. Lakers at Phoenix, Clippers in Dallas. You got to stay up real late tonight if you want to see that one.
That's probably not going to happen up in here.
That tips at 9:30 tonight out at Staples Center on the West Coast.
Should be on my second or third hour sleep by then.
All right, a lot to do. We got a lot this hour. Craig Way coming up with a Craig Way report. We've also got to dive into the Texas Senate last Thursday passed the name, image, and likeness bill in the state of Texas. We'll get you details on that, what it means for college athletics. Also, former Texas coach Mack Brown and others around the country expressing issue with the transfer portal. We'll dive into those issues. As I mentioned in the headlines, Buck, 8:30 this morning, we're going to talk to Texas baseball head coach David Pierce, normally on Thursdays, but they're going to be playing on Thursday, hopefully. So we bumped that up because we wanted to congratulate Coach Pierce on the accomplishments
Skipper
of the season.
Of the champs.
And now the Big 12 Coach of the Year. Congratulations to Coach Pierce. Second time in 5 years. I know you've kind of said all year that you feel like Coach Pierce doesn't get the accolades.
I don't think he does. I still don't think he does. I think people just kind of, they're still waiting to see. You know what they're waiting to see? How far they go this year.
Yeah,
that's where I think Longhorn fans will make their opinion. Because they really seldom say anything. They talk about the team a lot. They talk about the two assistants that were former, Major League Baseball players. But I think Coach gets kind of left out of this deal. I think he's solid. And now he's got his guys playing,
Well, I know it's 5 years ago now, but, his hiring was controversial, right? The way, not that he's controversial, but
right.
Remember, it was, the lack of leadership, I thought, at the top there. That's when Steve Patterson was the AD.
People still see that.
Check that. Mike Perrin was brought in to save the athletic department because Steve Patterson had burned every bridge, and Mike Perrin was brought in as a stopgap. But he handled, the baseball search. But remember, all Texas baseball fans, which is a passionate bunch, they wanted Texas to go out and, Augie Garrido was making over $1 million a year at the time when they made the switch. And, the idea was the starting salary for the new coach would be a little bit north of that, right? If you're going to go get a coach from Florida or Virginia or Vanderbilt right. or one of these big names, and instead Texas tried to cut, they undercut it. The offers were coming in at like $800,000 under what Augie was making, which had a lot of people around the country looking at it saying, you know what, I'm out on that. I'll just get a raise where I'm at. Much like we saw Tim Tadlock do out at Texas Tech yesterday. Did you see that?
Yeah, and now it's nice. It's nice you got a blue-collar guy who loves the fundamentals of the game.
Well, and it kind of wandered back into where, after interviewing the big-name coaches, quote-unquote.
Right.
It kind of rolled back in that David Pierce was the right guy for the job, and he had impressed Mike Perrin in the initial interview, and he knew everybody in the state of Texas, having been at Sam Houston State and Rice for so long.
And he had a nice start.
And brought him in, and again, but when he was hired, it was like, oh, really, that's the best we could do? David Pierce, the best we could do as a manager? But obviously, he's been, to me, the exact right hire. I mean, he has really stabilized where they're at. He has really recruited at a high level with a vision.
He likes speed and athleticism.
Yes, he does.
On his baseball team.
And as we talked with David Pierce about last Thursday, he loves competitiveness. I mean, you would think that'd be natural, but he wants guys who want to compete. He wants guys who want to compete for their spot. He wants guys who want to compete for playing time, and then between the chalk, compete on a pitch-by-pitch basis, whether they're pitching or hitting. And that's what you've seen on this team. They've won. You know, he's been the coach of the year twice in 5 years. This is their second Big 12 championship in 4 years, because we don't really count last year at all, only four seasons. But even last year, they were playing good baseball. Second year they're in Omaha, and now this year they have a team that is going to be a top, three or four national seed. So just desserts to David Pearson. We'll talk to him coming up at 8:30 this morning. Excited to talk to Coach about the ceiling for this baseball team now that the regular season is in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. Now you take them a game at a time, a bat at a time, a pitch at a time, and that's, I like his philosophy on how they play the game. So
yeah, well, and it's funny, when he was hired, I know it broke the hearts of a lot of folks at Rice, because he was assumed to be the heir apparent to Coach Wayne Graham.
Now they're
Rice.
Looking, huh?
Yeah, they've already fired his replacement. That's already over. That whole experiment.
How'd that work
with
out?
The Tennessee Tech head coach that they brought in, that didn't work out, and so they've already moved on down at Rice,
right?
And they're looking for their next coach now. And as I mentioned, Tim Tadlock yesterday out of Texas Tech, I mentioned, we told you on Sunday, Texas A&M fired their longtime baseball coach, Rob Childress, moved on from him, and they were going aggressively after Tim Tadlock, which they did. Yesterday, Tim Tadlock got what Kirby Hocutt, the AD, called a lifetime contract. It's a rolling 7-year deal, but it's been announced as a lifetime contract at Texas Tech, because from what I was told, they were close to losing their second big-name head coach in a short amount of time, because, of course, Chris Beard came to Texas right. In basketball. Tadlock was aggressively pursued by Texas A&M, and he gets a lifetime deal. Who doesn't want that? How about a lifetime contract?
That sounds nice.
Is that, you want a lifetime contract? Let's get one of those.
Sounds nice, man.
Where do you get one of those things? I want one. Lifetime deal. But Texas is happy where they're at, because everything's kind of shifting around them. There's talk that Coach Jim Schlossnagel up at TCU will be in demand around the country when their season ends, and we'll see if he sticks and stays at TCU. There's a lot of movement happening, and Texas going nowhere. They've got David Pierce at the helm, and they're in good shape.
You know, last week we saw the Nashville team in the MLS have a nice crowd in their debut, their opening of a new stadium, and Q2 will be at a full house capacity load when they come back here on the 19th. And I don't know if any MLS team has sold out their stadium for the first game. They couldn't, but I don't think anybody really would fill it up. This place here, Q2, will be jam-packed. I mean, to the rafters. This will be standing room only, I believe.
For the first one, for sure, June 19th, and that game 3 days earlier with the U.S. Women's National Team.
That will be jam-packed, too.
Well, I think, think about this. I mean, it's 20,500 seats, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after the season ticket holders get their tickets, I believe what I've been told is that on game days, they'll have about 4,000 tickets will go on sale for general public.
Right.
4,000.
That's it.
Because season ticket holders, the demand has been so overwhelming, there's already a waiting list of over 20,000 for season tickets. They just don't have enough seats. And so, you got 4,000 or 5,000, yeah, seats on a game-by-game basis to try to get a hold of.
Those 20,000 will probably be in there for the Women's National, too. They're probably,
sure. Well, yeah,
if they're on hold, they get those.
Yeah, they'll have first right of,
yes,
of choice of those, and playoff tickets if they were to make the playoffs and that kind of stuff. That's what the benefits of season tickets. But, yeah, I mean, the interest in this team is pretty overwhelming at this point. And, our buddy Glenn Davis from Soccer Matters, you heard him last night or Monday night on Soccer Matters. He is the voice of the Houston Dynamo down in Houston. He has seen teams come online all over the country, all over the MLS, and he says he's not seen anything like it as far as this, the immediate passion for a franchise. Austin already has it. Now, they're 2-4. They're on a 3-game losing skid, and they have another tough game this week at Seattle against the best team in the league.
Seattle.
Seattle.
They're good. They're the best team in the MLS. So this is a tough road. This is a group to come back here, possibly 2-6, and looking for some home cooking because I'm pretty sure they're tired of going on the road now.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cute before, like, we get all for one and one for all. That's old now.
Yeah. Well, it's just fun. I think the novelty of this team, the fun of this team, Austin has its own professional sports team to cheer for and, you know, get behind. Then that's fun.
I think they'll have some stars in the future. There'll be some big stars wanting to live in Austin, Texas.
Agreed. Agreed. So those are the top stories. We'll talk to David Pierce at 8:30, preview the Big 12 tournament, and you kind of wonder what their strategy will be, these Longhorns, Buck, going to this tournament. You know, they've locked up a top eight national seed. That's over. They're going to be, and it's one of those, you know, we'll ask Coach who's going to pitch on Wednesday. I would guess it's kind of a Kobe Kubacek for Texas, and they'll save Ty Madden for game two, which would be Thursday. We'd have a full week from his last start. But we'll talk with David Pierce about this.
I would think they would look at all these games just like they've done all season long. It's not about the other team.
Yeah.
It'll be about what they do. And
that's right.
They play to a certain standard. They'll score a bunch of runs, and they'll pitch well.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
and they won't boot the ball all around the place.
Yeah, play to your standard and, right. You know, try to win every inning, try to win every pitch. And that's what that group has done all year. We'll talk to Coach about that at 8:30. But exciting times for baseball. I was mentioning in the headlines, it'll be fun tonight down in Houston with the Dodgers and the Astros in a much-anticipated series, a rematch of the World Series 2017. Obviously, it's the first matchup since the Astros were smacked around for their punishment. It's not in L.A., or else it'd be a little much more hostile.
Hey, they just got smacked around last week.
Who?
And now they got to play the Dodgers, right?
Well, the Astros were red-hot going into that series with the Rangers, and the Rangers beat them up.
That's what I'm saying.
Three straight, yeah. So the Astros happy to get home. Speaking of home cooking, they're happy to get home and But that's the ESPN game. It's the national game. It'll be fun tonight with Kershaw and Greinke. Speaking of 100% capacity, this is the first Astros game of the year that will be at 100% capacity. They've gone to 100% now down in Houston.
Your packed house, maybe.
So it should be a pretty close to packed house on a Tuesday night for Astros-Dodgers. That'll be fun in the big leagues. And coming back, those are your top stories. We'll talk about them throughout the morning. We also have Aaron Rodgers weighing in. Speaking for the first time publicly on the rift with the Packers and his plan with the Packers, or at least what the issue is. We'll get into that. Also, former Texas coach Mack Brown expressing major concerns about the transfer portal. Let you know what Mack had to say. Also, other coaches weighing in on this whole new frontier. And got to get into this, and here it comes. The Texas Senate overwhelmingly passed a bill last Thursday that will allow college athletes in the state of Texas to be paid for the use of their name, image, and likeness. As dozens of states across the country have also done, we will dive into what that means for the University of Texas and your favorite school here in the state and where that's headed. We'll dive in there as well. Very important conversation.
You know, our conversation yesterday with Dave Peltz was extraordinary. I mean, I was talking to Zay before, and I said, people just don't understand how involved Peltz is now. All of a sudden, you know, since his cancer treatment, and now he's feeling back to great health. He sounded great yesterday.
Dave Pels was fun yesterday.
But let me just say this. That guy is not just his short game coach anymore. They've been working for 2 years on his all-around game with all his irons. I'm not saying with his driver, but we're talking about positioning of Phil Mickelson. So this isn't a guy. What'd you say, Zay? It would be like having who? You said it before. I mean, when people,
it'd be like having Michael Jordan win something. And he was yelling Phil after a lot of shots, and we had Phil Jackson on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, Dave Pels, you heard him call the Pels irons throughout the PGA Championship, Phil Mickelson.
Not just the wedges.
And if you missed that, we posted it on our website, hornfm.com. It was fascinating, I thought, listening to Dave Pels talk about the 3-year project that Phil Mickelson's been on.
Yes,
to rebuild his swing and rebuild his body. And, you know, it was Dave Pels called Phil Mickelson and said, Phil used to be a jelly belly. Says now he's got like abs of steel, and that's why he's out driving Brooks Koepka, because he's got this core that's as strong as it's ever been. And that's, I'm fascinated by the Phil Mickelson story just for winning the major, but the way Dave Pels presented it, this was a plan, and this is,
Phil doesn't seem like a guy who would be in the gym a lot.
But he has been, and it feels like, I mean, at least for Dave Pels, his coach, that this is the beginning. This is the start of a run for Phil. Like, this is not a one-off that Phil's planning on winning more tournaments and being in the mix for the majors and
crushed the Champions Tour.
And that was not just this rise up situation and ride off into the sunset for Phil. Maybe it is, but that's not the way Dave Pels presented it. That the team is thinking, he and Phil and his brother, the caddy. And
well, we'll see him this week.
We will see him at the Colonial up in Fort Worth or the Metroplex this weekend for the Colonial Tournament.
The old cocking wrist action.
Oh, don't say that too quickly.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, we're back on a Tuesday. A lot to dive into. Those are the top stories of the morning. Got more to come as well. Got Craig Way with the Craig Way Report. Your B&E fact of the day this hour. Glad you're with us. Appreciate it. Pull up a chair. Ride with us all morning long, all day long. You can follow us. We make it easy. We're live, local, and digital. Streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, little Sammy Hagar's day.
You know, I was listening to the other day, some of the guys you were talking about, the Black Keys.
Love the Black Keys.
By the way, they got it. They sound a lot. New album sounds a lot like the Allman Brothers. They got that kind of rhythm, kind of Allman Brothers-like.
A little bit of that. Yeah, I mean, that's their roots. The Black Keys, who had a huge, you know, pop rock success in the last decade. But they've been playing the blues. They started as a blues band out of Akron, Ohio, the two-man blues band. I mean, they played southern rock and the blues. And their new album called Delta Cream, I believe is what it's called. It's all back to their Mississippi Delta roots.
It sounds
roots.
Like the Allman Brothers.
Dude, I mean, I don't want to say I can't stop listening to it, but when I'm working during the day, I just turn that thing on. It's just such a cool, smooth vibe. It's really cool if you're driving. It's just easy to listen to, and the Black Keys do a great job. Yeah, it's a little Allman Brothers. It's a little, it's just Delta Blues, really, is what it is. And Dan Auerbach and the Black Keys, good one. There's a little Sammy Hagar right there. My buddy Arnold just texted me, who drives to West Texas every Tuesday to go to work and works out in the field, out there in the West Texas. He can't drive 55. There's no way. He's got his pedal down. But he texted me to remind me that he'll be at the Colonial this weekend in Fort Worth.
Yeah,
he's not driving back to Austin. He's going to be driving back to Fort Worth, just north of TCU there, to see Phil and the guys at the Colonial, which will be fun.
We'll see if Phil's got his mojo's still going. You know, then he'll take 2 weeks off, but his mojo this week coming back will be concentration, because that guy's got 50,000 interviews to do. He'll get on that golf course, and it'll be hard to focus.
Let me just say, for golf, and it's for the exposure, this couldn't come at a better time, because golf is looking for a star, right? They're looking for someone.
Absolutely.
Because Jordan Spieth has been good, but
and every week it seems to change.
Every week it's a different winner, which is good for the parity of the game, but as far as the appeal of the game,
right?
Tiger obviously is recovering from his car accident and car wreck, and you know,
I wonder what that does to his mentality. Does that make him say, I'm coming back?
I was excited to hear from Dave Pels yesterday, just that he doesn't, because the first question we asked him, or I asked him, was, did this surprise you at all? And he said, not at all. He said, we've been building to this. This is the culmination of 3 years of work for Phil, which is, you know, that would, for me, mean that this is a plan to, this wasn't just to get one win. This was to get back and compete at the highest levels of golf and not ride off into the sunset onto the Champions Tour, you know, really, but to compete. And it would be great for golf, because you saw the galleries. You saw the fan interaction with Phil. It was rock star status. And
Dave's been very sick. I mean, folks, he's been really, really sick.
Yeah, Dave Pels battled cancer, yeah.
That was a battle for him. And there were times where, from what I hear, he couldn't even get out there and swing a club to do anything. And I know he missed that, but he'd been working with Phil 3 years now.
Yeah, with a plan. And it culminated this past weekend, which would indicate they have plan on winning some more here. They didn't do this for 3 years to win one tournament. That was to hopefully create some sustained success on the tour and in the majors, and that will start this weekend. And, of course, the galleries will be huge for Phil at the Colonial, right? I mean, they'll be...
Oh, that's right.
I mean, that's what...
You know who'll be out also up there?
Ooh, that's a party.
That's quite the party.
That's a party scene, yo. And the Metroplex.
There'll be some high heels going on up in there.
We'll get you ready for that on Thursday. We'll also have a triple header of NBA action tonight. Can LeBron James?
LeBron James. Is he okay?
LeBron James.
Is he all
LeBron
right?
James. LeBron James. LeBron James. LeBron James.
Is he okay, though? I don't know.
Is he going to be flopping tonight?
Is he going to be flopping around? Anybody going to get a red card tonight?
Come on, man.
For hitting LeBron James? Leave him alone. Don't touch him again.
That makes me laugh when I hear that little kid talk about
LeBron James. LeBron James. LeBron James. LeBron James. LeBron James. LeBron James.
What's he going to do tonight after they lost to Phoenix?
Got poked in the eye,
Phoenix
hurt his shoulder.
Better team.
What tonight? What could, ankle going to come back up tonight?
What a diva. What a diva he's been since he's gotten to L.A., and I know he's going to go into an acting career, I'm sure, because he certainly
Space
is acting
Jams
like
coming
it.
Up. Space Jams, too.
Hey, so that's out there. We have Aaron Rodgers making public comment for the first time. We also have Dak Prescott. Did you see Dak Prescott? Dak Prescott was running, wearing number four, running the Cowboys OTAs, organized team activities. He's back out there in shoulder pads. Dak Prescott says he's healthy. He's ready to go. That's good news for the Dallas Cowboys. Aaron Rodgers, meanwhile, has appeared. He did an interview last night on ESPN with Kenny Mayne, the outgoing Kenny Mayne, mm-hmm. who's leaving his post. And we have some comments from Aaron Rodgers on what he had to say about the rift with the Green Bay Packers.
It's never been about, never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. A lot of fun to work together. I love the coaching staff, love my teammates, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. And a lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year. So this is just kind of, I think, the spill out of all that. But look, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing. Green Bay has always been about the people, from Curly Lambeau being owner and founder to the 60s with Lombardi and Bart Starr and all those incredible names, to the 90s teams with Coach Holmgren and Farvey and the Minister of Defense, to the run that we've been on. It's about the people.
Okay.
So how long do you hold the people for ransom? Aaron, I mean, seriously, if it's about the people, how long till you can forget it? I mean, you think you will change the culture is their culture? You can change their culture. You've been a part. You're just a part of it. You need to understand, like all those people that you just talked about, Curly Lambeau and Bart Starr and all, you're just one of, you don't run the whole show. They were a part of that stuff too. So how long will you hold that team up for ransom and make them feel terrible about themselves? When do you just say, okay, now I've made my statement, I'll see you guys in the fall, because he's not coming to OTA. He's not coming to that stuff. But are we going to see you when the time comes for you to play for the Green Bay Packers, or are you just going to give us a history lesson? What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously you read between the lines on him. He doesn't like the way some players have been treated, that it's almost like it's impersonal, that guys are, and they're used, and then they're sent off, and they bring in a new crop, and much like Brett Favre was sent aside, here comes, when Aaron Rodgers was drafted, now here comes Jordan Love, and it's just the cycle of things in the National Football, the cycle of life for an NFL player. He wants it to be a little more personal and a little more respectful.
He needs a hug.
That dude needs a hug badly. He needs a hug.
Yeah,
and I think there's, when he says philosophy, it's, he understands, I think, that when he was drafted, he was the replacement for Brett Favre. So he understands by drafting Jordan Love, well, there's my replacement. That's what you're putting in place here. And he is.
Oh, he's saying he understands.
Well, no, but he's saying, I think that's wrong. I'm going into the best years of my career. Let's build around that. Let's make runs. Let's not build for the future. Let's build for the now. And I think that's the basic philosophical difference, that Aaron Rodgers is saying, look, I'm still only in my 30s, my mid-30s. I'm watching Tom Brady win Super Bowls at 44.
And you're putting players all around him.
And they're stocking with it, and they're making runs at it. They're going after it. And I guess Aaron Rodgers' point, whether we agree with it or not, or anybody agrees with it, is let's put the pedal to the metal here. Let's go for it instead. Yes, this is the way things have always been done, and I'm just a part of this Green Bay Packer wheel. But at the same time, I just won the MVP. I'm playing my best football. I have a coach now in Matt LaFleur that is not Mike McCarthy, and I think you've got a pretty high-level coach here. Let's go for it. Let's all gas, no brakes, Steve Sarkisian. And instead, they're still doing it the Packer way, which is building through the draft, building for the future, drafting for the long haul, which is just the way it's always been done. And he's arguing that that's maybe not the way to do this. Let's go after it a little bit. And if you're not going to change, then get me out of here. I'll go win Super Bowls elsewhere with an organization that'll do it. Now, again, there's going to be disagreement on both sides. People are going to think he's a diva, and that's fair. But
I like the way he spoke. At least it's good
to hear from him.
Well,
it's not just reports.
I like the way he spoke up about what he thinks of what's going on and what has been going on. He's been there a long time, so he's obviously, they kind of disrespected that dude when they did a couple things. There's no doubt about it. But as I've said all along, how long are you going to do this? They got the message now. They understand the message. Will they do something any different? Well, go play. Go find out if they're going to do something different. Because there's nothing they can do now. There's nothing. Nothing's going to change. They're not going to grab a bunch of great wide receivers. Let's get five offensive linemen all of a sudden. It is what it is right now, Aaron. You spoke your piece. They understand. Are you going to walk? That's what I want to know. Are you showing up or are you going to walk?
We shall see. There's Aaron Rodgers. We also had this piece of audio yesterday. Do we have Julio Jones, Zay? Because you know, there's a show on Fox Sports 1 with the great Skip Bayless.
And the who?
Just
Skip Bayless.
The great
Bayless.
One, Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
With Shannon Sharp, and they do a show. They yell at each other quite a bit, kind of fun. And so Shannon Sharp is close with Julio Jones. He calls him Uncle Shannon. And Julio Jones is the wide receiver of the Atlanta Falcons. So on the show, this will be what BK on our afternoon show will call a bit. On the show, Shannon Sharp pulled out his iPhone and called him on the show, like live. Recorded, but live.
Sure.
So called Julio Jones, but Julio Jones didn't know, I don't think, that it was live on. He just thinks, you'll hear, well, you hear
just it. Thinks he's having a conversation?
With his Uncle Shannon. Oh. So here we go. Here's, do we have it, Zay? Yeah, let's go with this.
We call? Okay, we are calling. We're calling.
You watching Julio?
I really hope he answers here.
Julio, have the guts to pick up the phone.
What's happening?
Yeah.
All right.
Julio. Hold on. Let me put you on. Can you hear me?
I got you. This is your favorite uncle. What's going on, bro?
Man, nothing much. Got to go meet up with my brother. What's happening with you?
Man, look. You want to go to the Cowboys, Julio, or you want to stay in Atlanta?
Oh, man, no, I'm out of there, man.
He's out of there.
Oh, are you going to... Ideally, where would you like to go?
Right now, I want to win.
Okay. Dallas. We don't go to Dallas. If you go, you ain't winning in Dallas, Julio.
Listen, come on, man. You already know, I know.
Okay.
Can you remind him we're on television?
Ask
right
him
now?
Why we wore the Dallas.
Listen. You know how people is, man, with all that going right on with the picture?
Yeah.
And all that stuff like that.
Okay.
Man, I ain't never been on that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. That's good enough. Julio. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling me back. We on air, but I appreciate you calling me.
There you go. There it was yesterday.
That's stupid.
That is dumb.
I mean, calling that guy. I mean, he already knew he was going to be on the air.
They
made that sound like that was just a call. Come on. He knew what was up.
Is he going to the Cowboys? No. But he does want out. I mean, essentially, the headline there, if there is one, is bad bit, but...
It's a terrible bit.
But he did say, I'm out of there. And I think there's a lot of people that believe the Falcons are going... The Falcons will trade Julio Jones if an offer is right, because it's a salary cap issue. And, you know, his cap hit is pretty extreme. They have a
You're
new
not going to get a first rounder for him.
No, because it's the money. No, you got to find a team that's willing to give you some compensation, but can
maybe
also afford to put him under their salary cap.
Second round.
Yeah, second round pick for Julio Jones at his point. And the name you keep hearing prominently are the New England Patriots. The Patriots, you know, could this be like a... kind of a Randy Moss kind of situation, part two for Bill Belichick, that we need weapons. We got a young quarterback. We got Cam Newton. Could we give up a second or third round pick, absorb the cap hit, and bring in Julio Jones?
Dude has not stayed healthy.
Just wants to win.
He's got bad feet. Sorry.
But when healthy, he's a great player.
When? I mean,
he's a great player.
It's been a while.
Well, there you go. Julio Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott back at practice. Must be May, almost June in the NFL. So there you go, a little NFL chatter. We'll get into this NFL NCAA transfer portal issue. Mac Brown and other coaches around the country raising red flags on this transfer portal, whether it's going to change anything or not. Also, name, image, and likeness coming to the state of Texas for college athletics. Get you the very latest there. B&E fact of the day before the top of the hour to get your brain working. First, though, it's Light the Tower time. It's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Tuesday on the Horn, B&E with you, live, local, and digital. You can watch us now on the Twitch stream. Certainly, you just want to listen, that's fine, too. Appreciate you doing that on the Horn app or your smart speaker. If you're in your car, a little drier conditions this morning, which is good. Not the wet mess it was yesterday and most of last week. That's a good thing. We've got a B&E fact of the day here coming up. Also in our coaches' corner next hour, we'll dive into this transfer portal issue and coaches taking issue with it. Also the other assorted issues surrounding college athletics, including name, image, and likeness. You know, now that COVID is, as we're moving through that, right, and you're seeing 100% capacity and, you know, COVID protocols will be loose, and that's obviously been the number one focus of athletic departments and, you know, programs around the country. You know, now you're, like, these real meat issues are about to, the rubber's about to meet the road on name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal, all of these things are coming together, and we'll dive into what the, you know, the fallout is going to be on that and the issues. We're also talking some NBA playoffs, the NFL. And I was thinking during the break, we were talking about Julio Jones, you know, likely to be traded or possibly to be traded by the Atlanta Falcons in this offseason and the Patriots as a possible team. Another team I was thinking about would be in the Cowboys' own division, the New York Football Giants. Remember the Giants tried to they were planning on trading the Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith, and then the Eagles – just the hated rival Eagles traded with the hated rival Cowboys
right.
to jump in front of them and take Devontae Smith in Philadelphia. So they didn't get the receiver that they coveted. Now they traded back to 20, the Giants, and took the kid out of Florida, the speedster, Tony. And you wonder if, you know, wouldn't it be good if you were the New York Giants to give your quarterback, Daniel Jones, a young, you know, a veteran weapon like that?
I would agree.
To go with Saquon Barkley, who's going to be back and healthy, to go with Kadarius Toney, who you just drafted, to go with Evan Ingram, the tight end. That's a spot where I think Dave Gettleman could do worse than, because you got to get, if you're going to find out the real truth on Daniel Jones, your quarterback you drafted in the top 10, you may want to put some real weapons around him and see what he's got.
Well, the real weapon is that guy at running back. This group wants to be a physical team. That offensive line has got to be a lot better. Saquon Barkley can't get a million carries with a bad offensive line. They've got to do something with their offensive line. They do need weapons on the outside. But I don't see this as – I don't think Gettleman wants them to be a finesse team. They want to be a physical team and live by the run. And if Daniel Jones does get some help with a guy like Julio Jones and then a little speedster, look out for a lot of folks there. You know what I'm saying, Ian? Yeah, I'd like to take that veteran. I'd give up a second-round pick for Julio Jones. I keep talking about Julio being hurt and bad feet and all that stuff. He's still, to me, worth a second-round pick. He's still worth a chance.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up anything in the first round. You can forget about that. And in the middle of the second round, I'm willing to take that chance. And maybe this guy can stay healthy. Just hadn't been that way. But to come to a young team and a veteran like that, that if he gives you 10 games, if he gives you 11 games, okay, that's fine.
Well, it's a roll of the dice. There's no question. But look, last year he played just 9 games. But the year previous, he played 15. The year before, it was 16. The year before, it was 16. The year before, it was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in those years, I mean, he was averaging over 100 yards a game and averaging, I mean, he's still 6'3". He's still 220 pounds. He's still...
Oh, he can still catch and run with the ball. He can throw your face into the turf.
I mean, you tell me Julio Jones will be wearing the giant blue and he's going to be
That's
healthy and motivated.
That's not good for Cowboy fans, no.
And you got Saquon Barkley back, and you've got Evan Ingram, and you've got Kadarius Toney, who's kind of that little
all about
gadget
the guy pulling
player.
The guy who'll be pulling the trigger then.
That would scare the hell out of me if I'm in the NFC East, because I still think Julio Jones is a devastating player when he's at when he's healthy and motivated, which I think he would be in that scenario, right? I mean, I don't know. I'm looking at teams that could – I don't want to say the Giants are a piece away, but one thing the Giants were last year with their new head coach, Joe Judge, was better coached. They were more physical. And guess who would be calling those plays, Buck? Jason Garrett.
That's
old
right.
Red.
Yeah.
Old Red,
still
Red
calling.
Would like to get.
Absolutely.
That means they'll be settling for field goals, even with Julio Jones and Saquon Barkley. Kicking a lot of field goals in the red zone. That's the Jason Garrett MO. All right, we'll take your thoughts. We'll dive into these other big issues. We'll also talk more Phil Mickelson at the Colonial and the other NBA game. Triple header tonight. First, let's get to your B&E Fact of the Day.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Hey, congratulations to Longhorn ace Ty Madden, named yesterday the Big 12 Pitcher of the Year. He is the seventh Longhorn all-time to win Big 12 Pitcher of the Year honors, but the first in 10 years. Can you name the last Longhorn to win that honor? Who was the last one? Happened in 2011. I think a lot of you will get this one, but Ty Madden wins it in 2021. Which Longhorn right-hander earned it in 2011? That'll be the answer to your B&E Fact of the Day on the other side of a quick timeout. Loaded on a Tuesday. Glad you're with us.